Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, August 31st. Today happens to be the birthday of our daughter, Hannah Morris. I may have called her Hannah Shepherd earlier this morning when I announced her birthday. Used to be a shepherd, but Hannah's a Morris now and has been for a number of years. Amen. But anyway, we're rejoicing in Hannah's birthday today. Hope that she has a happy birthday throughout the day. And I want to let her know I love her and thank God for my family. Amen. Speaking of family, God blessed me to be able to go back to North Carolina on Sunday night. Actually got there early Monday morning. Rested just a little while, visited with a few family members, and then left around lunchtime, headed back this way. Brought my wife back. She had gone in, flown in to be with her mom and dad, with her dad having some heart problems, but he's doing much better, and we rejoice in that. Amen and amen. Speaking of that, I've got one of her favorite songs. I believe it is her favorite that we sang as a family. Coming up in the second song here in a little bit, we're going to have the congregation and choir singing together one entitled Take a Moment and Live. I don't know, it doesn't have the congregation, just the choir. Take a Moment and Live. And then the Shepherd family singing that song that my wife loves entitled At the Crossing. But first let me mention, I thank God for a great missions conference we had this past week. I hope you tuned in and enjoyed that alongside us. But if you were here, you know it was a blessing. And God moved in, and we're thankful for it. Heard from some good missionaries and good preachers, several different messages. And then the Lord moved in a mighty way with our faith promise and allowed us to exceed even our goal or thoughts what we might do. Went about a 33% increase in our faith promise. Hallelujah. All right. Our text for this week is found in 1 Kings chapter number 7. We're going to begin reading in verse number 51. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse number 51 is dealing with the house of the Lord being built, the temple being built, what we know as Solomon's temple. And we're preaching this week a sermon entitled Treasures of the House of the Lord. Hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky.
1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. In that last verse of chapter 7, there's a phrase at the end of that verse, and it's talking about Solomon bringing these things in. And it says he did put them, or did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. And I want to preach on the thought, the treasures of the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Treasures of the house of the Lord. Now, there's a lot that could be said, and I may not go the route that a lot of people might think that I would go, but I'm going to show you some things that I believe from the scripture and things that are treasures that we ought to treasure and we ought to glorify God, that are down at the house of God. This text that I'm reading to you is the completion of the first temple, what became known as Solomon's temple. It was the most majestic of all the temples, amen, until the millennial temple. The millennial, I believe, will outshine them all, amen. But up until that time, Solomon's was the greatest, and they've gone downhill from there. But in the building of Solomon's temple, it was an elaborate building. It was an enormous building. It was a great undertaking that had taken place. In chapters number 6 and 7, it deals with the building of that house. And it deals with some things there that's amazing to me. Nothing was built on site. Everything was prepared off site, brought on site, and put together. Amen. Matter of fact, I believe it's chapter 6 that says that there was no sound of the hammer. And none of the tools that were the sound was made for. They carved the stones and they did all the things of making it together and then put it together there. And here's a thought that ran in my mind was that on that hill, the sound of the hammer never rang out until the day it rang out when they drove the nails into the hands and feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the greatest temple was built. Amen. When Christ was offering his body. Amen. That we might be saved. saved by His grace. Amen. But in this building of the temple, it was an elaborate building, wonderful, and it deals with the building of it. Chapter 6, chapter 7 deals with the supplying, bringing the things in, the furniture and all the things that goes along with that. And then chapter number 8 deals with the dedication and the first worship service that took place there in the house of God. Now, after Solomon had built such an elaborate and decorative monument to the glory of God, the reason that temple was so grand and glorious, of course Solomon had the money to put in, had the means, he had the heart to do it. You know, it was laid on David's heart to do it, and God wouldn't allow David to do it, but he raised up Solomon and allowed Solomon to do it. And Solomon wanted the house to be magnifical. That's what he called it. Amen. It couldn't just be a normal house. It had to be a magnificent, wonderful house that Solomon was going to build for the glory of God. But as Solomon was going about doing all that, he took such great care and such great delight in preparing all those things. And then the Bible says that when all that was done and it was all set up, that then they brought in the last thing in chapter 7 verse 51, that last thing, so was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of God. So the silver and the gold and those vessels were not the treasures, but were among the treasures in the house of God. Amen. And so that jumped out at me one day when I was looking at that phrase, treasures in the house of the Lord, is found 10 times in the King James Bible. All of them in the records of the Kings and the Chronicles, that you can find those records and that statement made of the treasures of the house of the Lord. These vessels and this furniture was considered invaluable. It was beyond price. It was beautiful. It was ornate. It was crafted with care, handmade. Amen. They made it with care there in God's country and put it together. God's people made it and then overlaid it all with gold. It was either made out of pure gold or else overlaid with gold, all the furniture and the things of the temple. And so they were beautiful. They were invaluable because of their beauty and because of the wealth and because of their usage, what they were used for. Amen. And so these things were made in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Now, when we think of treasures, usually we think of one of two things. When we think of treasures, maybe you might think about hidden treasures, buried treasure, sunken ships, or there's something else we think of a treasure, and those are heritage things. Things that are passed down from generation to generation. Maybe they're not valuable for what they are, but for where they came from. Amen. Maybe they're valuable because of who gave them to us. Truly, those are treasures, and they ought to be valued. But there are other treasures that are more valuable than hidden things and more valuable than heritage things, and those are holy things. Holy things are treasures above earthly things. Amen. And those are things which are dedicated to the Lord. Amen. The word holy deals with being set apart, sanctified, used for a specific purpose, and that being for the glory of God. Now, with that in mind, I want to preach about five things that I believe are treasures in the house of God, or treasures of the house of God. And I want to use my text right here and look along. In chapter number 8, in verse number 10 and verse number 11, I'll give you the first one that I believe is a treasure in the house of God. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Amen. That cloud was representative of the presence of God. It's called here, the cloud filled it and the glory filled it. We'd say God filled his house. Amen. And I'll say this, that the presence of God is a priceless treasure in the house of God. You see, this construction of the temple had taken Solomon 7 years to build. And the reason was, is because of what he put into it. The workmanship and where he sent to get the stuff and all the things that went together. Solomon was so dedicated, so poured his life into building that temple that it took him 7 years to complete it. Now, I don't know if that is symbolic of the fact that Israel is going to take 7 years of Jacob's trouble for them to come to the real temple, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ when he come in his body to deliver them from their sin, amen. But I do believe there is some symbolism that's tied there. But this building of the house of God had taken gold beyond measure. It had taken a lot of effort to decorate the house. It had taken a lot of workmanship and carving and intricate work that had been done to get the house of God like that it was. It was an exquisite building. But can I say this? That the temple of God without the ark of God is like a body with no spirit. Amen. I'm telling you, the house of God, it ought to be beautiful. Amen. It ought to be clean. It ought to be ornate. It ought to be wonderful. But the thing that makes the house of God precious is the presence of God in the house of God. Amen. When we come to God's house, we ought to come see God. Amen. And if we were to get here and God's not here, and by the way, sometimes he may not show up. I know the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. But you don't understand what I'm talking about. The manifest presence of God might be grieved, might be hindered, and he might not be in the house of God. And if that's the case, we are hurt when God don't show up. But in verses 1 through 9, Solomon took pains to see that God was in his rightful place in the house. Look at these verses. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. Even these did the priests and the Levites bring up. Now I'm going to stop just a minute. I'm going to say something about that. You may remember that David attempted one time to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem out from the house of Obed-Edom. You remember that story? He was going to bring that Ark in, but he didn't do it like the Word of God said do it. He did it like the Philistines had done it. If you remember, if you go all the way back, 1 Samuel chapter number 6, the Philistines had gotten that Ark of God, they had captured it in battle, and they'd taken that Ark of God, set it in their holy place with their gods, and Dagon had a problem. Dagon couldn't stand up to our God. Amen. He didn't have a leg to stand on. Amen. And Dagon fell over on his face, and he had to prop him back up. By the way, it's in Brother Hall's book. He mentions that in his book. I don't remember if it's the first chapter or the second chapter. And he talks about how I'd hate to have a God that I got to keep propping up. Amen. But Dagon fell over on his face, and they came in and propped him back up. The next day they came by, Dagon wasn't only on his face, but his head was severed and his hands was severed, and he was a useless stump is what he was. Amen. And by the way, he was useless when his head was on and when his hands was on. He couldn't use his head. He couldn't use his hands. Amen. He was a useless stump anyway, but God showed him for what he was. Amen. But those Philistines took that up. They said, we got to get rid of this thing. And they took and put it on a new cart. And they got two milk cows, milk kine, the Bible calls them, that had never had a yoke on them. And they put them in the head of that cart. And they took their calves home. And they turned them milk cows loose, knowing that a milk cow go after her bawling calf. But they didn't. Those milk cows walked away from their bawling calf and walked right back into the promised land. Amen. Right back towards Israel where it belonged, because God was in that ark and God was in control of those milk cows. Amen. So those Philistines got a new cart and put the ark on. David comes along later and says, we need that ark moved from over there at Obed-Edom's and brought in here to Jerusalem that it might have a permanent resting place. But instead of doing it like the Bible said, getting the priests and the Levites to run their staves through it and pick it up and carry it, David said, we're going to do it like the Philistines did it. We're going to get us a new cart. By the way, that's what the world's doing today. They're saying religion, if it's going to work in this age, has got to have a new cart. They're saying religion, if it's going to work in this day, it's got to work like the Philistines doing it. We've got to have the same music as the Philistines. We've got to have the same dress style as the Philistines. We've got to have the same standards, same convictions. We can't say anything against what they're doing. We've got to do it like the Philistines did it, but it didn't work in David's day, and it won't work in our day. Amen. You know the story. The ox stumbled, the cart moved, and Uzzah reached out his hand to stop it, and God struck him dead because God don't need man's help. Amen. God had said it wasn't to be carried by oxen, it was to be carried by holy men of God. And it's interesting to me that 1 Samuel chapter 6 deals with the Philistine way. 2 Samuel, same chapter, chapter 6 deals with David's way of doing it. But we get over here in 1 Kings chapter number 8, and Solomon learned a lesson. He said, if we're going to get God in the house of God, we're going to have to get him in there the right way. Amen. And so they went and got the priests and got the Levites. In verse number 4, it tells it. Look at verse 5. And King Solomon, all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for the multitude. So, buddy, they went all out. It's not only an elaborate building, but it's an extravagant parade as they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant in. Amen. In verse number 6, and the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above, and they drew out the staves that the ends of the staves were seen out of the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when he came out of the land of Egypt. Verse 10 tells us, after all this was done, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So you see what's going on here? Solomon did it God's way instead of the Philistine way, or instead of the way some others had tried it. He decided to do it God's way. Amen. And when he did that, that cloudy pillar rose up over the ark of God, and it filled the house. It filled the holy place, then it filled the whole house. It filled it till they couldn't minister around there. They had to go out, and that cloud extended out of the house of the Lord. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there, but Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.